Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show. Welcome to the Mystery Motel. It's me, Ray, and today we are going to be discussing the Forgotten City. Before I get into it, I am going to be putting some heavy spoilers here, as I will be discussing the canon ending of the game, as well as many philosophical discussions that arise from the game itself. So, spoilers begin. Ready? Now, Mystery Motel is a game developed by Modern Storyteller and published by Dear Villagers. The game itself was released July 28, 2021 for the PS4 and 5, PCs, and the Xboxes. Then it was released September 23, 2021 for the Nintendo Switch. The game had originally gained fame and critical acclaim as a mod for The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim back in 2016. After the mod was released, Nick Pierce, the lead developer and writer, had sought out work for many AAA game studios to no avail. Deciding that he needed to go all in to pursue his dream, Nick quit his day job as an Uber driver and hired several other developers to join him in the opening of dev team Modern Storyteller. Wanting to avoid the many moral pitfalls of other game studios, Nick took much of the work on himself so as to avoid forcing crunch time on his employees. It is documented that he'd put in 80 hours of work a week and would even work to the point of hallucinating. His original script for the mod was 35,000 words, but when the time came for voice recordings for the new independent game, it had more than doubled, counting over 80,000 words. All because of how well thought out the characters and their differing ideals are implemented throughout the plot. Speaking of which, time to delve even deeper into spoiler territory. When we open the game, we are able to select which gender pronouns we prefer and are greeted by a young woman by the name of Karen. Keeping with the self-aware humor and mentioning the many Karen memes that would determine the game to be set in present day. After failing to identify yourself, with Karen mentioning finding only pocket change on your person, she tells you of another man named Al Wirth who was washed ashore not long before yourself. Beseeching your aid to locate this man who had wandered into old ruins, you go and fall into a ruin and emerge from a pool of water to discover you have been sent back in time, to a city lost to time. One with many Greek and Roman architecture adorning it. Upon learning from the many characters that are inside of this city, the character learns that the city is under conditional protection, as long as everyone that resides there follows the Golden Rule. However, should anyone fail to do this, the entire town will suffer, as the statues placed throughout the town are brought to life, and anyone killed by their golden arrows will be turned and frozen in gold. However, the democratically elected leader of the city, very forward-thinking for Rome, is able to conjure a time loop that the protagonist can enter, one that will lead to the leader's death and the player being the only one who can recall everything that has happened. This makes for an interesting way to solve tasks as the player doesn't have to be afraid to fail. There were multiple times where I seemingly had to fail in order to gain some new information to take with me into the next time loop, such as learning how to trap an intruder, earning enough money to buy information, and of course, stealing Artemis's bow, one of the only weapons that can seemingly hurt the golden statues and the twisted amalgamations that one will face the further they venture into the story. Have no fear, though. While there is a long list of things to do, you don't have to redo every single task every time loop. There will always be a spry young fellow, whose name I always butcher, I think it's Gallipoli, to greet you, and he seemingly always believes you when you tell him that you know what is going to happen. He doesn't like to argue, apparently. Simply tell him all you need doing, and he will do them all for you. Even simply doing this can make him seem like a hero, and one that can take over the city as leader. Though, that isn't always the right path. Meanwhile, the young priestess of the city has a secret to show you within the baths. Here she takes you and shows you a prophetic painting that foretold of your arrival. This comes after speaking to the many people of the town and noting many similarities in their stories of entering the city. All had experienced tragedies, most from different periods of time during the boom of ancient Rome or Greece. They had all mentioned an event involving a coin and meaning someone, though the names change forever is one. The priestess explains that the player has actually died, and that the woman they met was not Karen, but Charon, the ferryman for the dead. While the player has been whisked to this ancient city is unknown, but it adds a whole new layer of mystery to the tale. Continuing in, the player will uncover any more secrets, such as the fact this city is not in its first incarnation. While being spoken to by a mysterious voice, it is implied that the golden statues are actually the husks of those that failed before, now being used by whoever is watching the city. This can be noted in the creepy moments when a statue will sharply turn its head in the player's direction, usually with a scowl or grimace attached. Pursuing this mystery and seeking out four different tablets will leave the player on the main crux of this game: a Roman tablet, a Greek tablet, an Egyptian tablet, and a mysterious tablet that no one seemingly knows the origin of. Retrieving the Greek tablet is more difficult than it would appear. A dim-witted man named Dooley is hanging onto it inside of his cell. So in order to retrieve it, you must lead everyone to elect a new leader, one that will free Dooley from his indefinite imprisonment. Even after doing this, you must secure the tablet quickly, as Dooley will steal something shiny, thus leading to the golden rule being broken. Seemingly, this is only broken by murder, thievery, and trespassing. There's a couple different ways to get the Roman tablet. It can be located within a cavern, specifically hidden in a shrine that is used by a closeted Christian. Originally, I had attempted to use a tragedy so as to be able to follow this woman into her shrine while she ran away to mourn. However, because I refused to leave her shrine while grabbing the tablet, the golden rule was broken. She then quickly ran away, locking me inside, leading to my having to reload a save. So instead, I pursued a side quest, one that comes with a warning of horror game elements. Wait, horror game elements? This is the Mystery Motel. I mean, I guess sometimes you can't have one without the other. After surviving the harrowing chase and convincing a crazed woman to allow me safe passage, I had acquired Artemis's golden arrows. Using these to turn weak foliage into gold strong enough to maintain stability under my weight, I am able to sneak into the shrine without having someone else open the door. Now, I've gotten two tablets. Next is the Egyptian tablet. Here you must debate with a stranger about the golden rule and determine if you actually know who created it to begin with. After successfully retrieving it, you may come to realize that through these conversations that there is more to the ruins underneath the city than meets the eye. It turns out that there were Egyptians here before the Greeks and Romans, and that the Greek and Roman mythology have actually borrowed heavily from the Egyptian mythology. In order to continue to find the mystery tablet, you must venture between even further still into a city that had come before even the Egyptians. This will take you to the religion of the Sumerians, one of the earliest historically written religions to be discovered, and one that the Egyptians borrowed heavily from in crafting their own stories. The entire quest to collect the tablets has led to a nice history lesson, and also a concerning question about faith and religion. Just as the Greek and Roman religions can be borrowed heavily from Egypt, and Egypt from Sumerian, it can also be said that Christianity, the primary religious following in my local area, has many similarities with Islam and Judaism. So, at this point, one has to wonder where these stories come from. As we continue into the game, the writers give their own unique answers to these questions, but still, the game does a good job of raising philosophical discussion, as we will continue to see in our next segment. But first, a word from our sponsor. After retrieving all of the plaques, you are finally able to enter the Great Temple, where you will meet the Lord. This lore drops a heavy backstory that is eerily similar to every mythological story detailing a god of the underworld and his lover, such as Pluto, Hades, Nurgle, and I'm blanking on the Sumerian god of the underworld, but you get the drift that I'm going with. However, you discover through conversation that this lord is not truly a god, but merely a mortal with powerful abilities. One possible way of dealing with him is by making him realize he's just as capable of fault as anyone else. As it is revealed that he has the task of finding and providing and improving mortals are capable of being omnipotent. To do this task, he created magical coins, and whoever died with those coins in their possession would be ferried by Charon. It would seem that you and Al were in possession of the last two coins when you both died. Quick note here, I kind of glossed over the whole Al Worth mystery. In the very beginning of the game, you do find Al Worth's corpse. It appears that he had been stuck in the city for a very long time and had actually committed suicide by hanging. Very dark topic, but you start to realize why he did that as you continue this never-ending loop. But I promise, we're gonna see more of Al Worth. So, surprisingly enough, in a game featuring time loops, death is not permanent. The Lord created the Golden Rule and told the story of the first city where everyone was able to live by it. They had been happy, all with their riches and happiness. However, the Lord saw greed in one such human as she killed another woman so as to be able to bed her husband. The Lord took this greed to be human nature and turned all of the city's then residents to golden statues and started the process over. The many shall suffer for the one. I tried to convince the Lord that he was just as bad as any human, but he took every single argument I had unlocked in my playthrough, and it was not enough. Apparently, if you do enough side quests, you can manage to convince him without having to do what I then had to do, because instead of talking him down, I had to commit an unthinkable act. Spurred on by the frozen lover next to him, whose voice I had been hearing throughout the game, I took my golden arrows and killed her, taking her crown as I ran from the time loop portal. After going through the loop one more time, I showed the Lord that I had bested his little game by giving him the proof that I had already killed his precious love. Even if he wanted to believe he was a god, I had proven that his love was fragile. And in a dark take on the Doctor Strange, Dormammu, I've come to bargain scene, the not-so-subtle promise is made that unless the Lord fixes everything, I will kill his love in front of him repeatedly. Having finally accepted my argument, the Lord relents and sends the player back home. Having a conversation with Sharon, you and Al are ferried back to the land of the living. That's right, Al lives because everything's fixed. Big happy ending in the canon ending. Upon your return, you discover that all the different members of the Forgotten City have been resurrected in the present day. And since none had retained memories in the prior time loops, they all revered you as an unknown figure who gave quick advice to Gallipoli, ran to the tower, and then led everyone to safety. A brief look back at history, and all we are left with is the question of, if we determined what actually makes a good person. Is it the ability to contain one's greed? The ability to contain one's rage? Or is it to truly follow the golden rule? For what is the golden rule but one of empathy? Treat others how you would like to be treated. The Forgotten City was definitely an experience. A big reason I put a spoiler warning in the beginning is because I don't see any replay value in this game. That said, to even play it once is still quite fun, especially for a guy like me who is very intrigued by Greek mythology and history of religion. After all, part of my ring name takes after the Greek god of theater, Dionysus. The fact that I'm such a fan of mythology is what led me to guess that Sharon twist to begin with, but that was only the first twist of many. While I can't condone the pains that Nick Pierce put himself through to put such wonderful craft out there, I can admire his dedication and talent. This game has received much positive feedback. IGN gave it a 9 out of 10, stating, quote, "The Forgotten City does a fabulous job exploring interesting moral quandaries through excellently written dialogue and characters," end quote. The Guardian's Luke Holland gave it 4 out of 5 stars, stating, quote, "The Forgotten City is a tremendous achievement, a labyrinthine little sandbox packed with interpersonal mysteries, which unravel farther and further with each pass," end quote. Compliments like these are absolutely fitting a game of its stature, and the fact that it came from such a small, independent team makes it all the more worth celebrating. I'm very excited to see what more they can bring to the table, hopefully with even more mysteries to solve inside this very motel. Well, everyone, we've experienced a never time loop within the Mystery Motel. Seriously, how many does that make that? We've gone the Forgotten City, we've gone 12 minutes... There was another one somewhere in there, or was there? I'm not sure. My time loops are all getting merged together now. Let's try to break this nasty habit. As much fun as it is, sometimes a good old-fashioned murder mystery is what's called for. Who knows? Maybe I'll check into a room with a certain ace attorney next time. As for next week, we're going to be covering wrestling again with an ever grappling with Ray. Seriously, guys, I can't thank you guys enough. The feedback I've gotten on the most recent Grappling with Ray, and even the one before that, you guys are really digging this wrestling content. I can feel it. I know it's because I'm passionate about it. You guys are building off that energy, so I'm definitely going to do my best to bring you some even more news, some more hot takes, and some more news about the New England wrestling scene. But keep in mind, at the end of the month, we are going to be having our Season 1 finale. I will have been doing this gig for a full year, and that's something I'm incredibly proud of, and we're going to be celebrating it the same way we started. If you'll remember, or if you need to go back, you can also check out our archives at www.73dreamstudiosvarietyshow.wordpress.com, or the archives of your favorite podcast streaming app. You'll be able to go scroll all the way down and find our first ever episode. Horror Hotel Little Hope, when we covered the second game in the House of blah, in the Dark Pictures anthology. You know where I'm going with this now. We're going to be doing House of Ashes, a game that very recently came out. Now, that's scheduled for November 29th. You guys got plenty of time to hit up this game before I spoil all of it for you. And trust me, you're going to want to check this out. And I'm super excited. And as a matter of fact, this was a cross-promotional kind of deal, because I brought back a certain friend who has a YouTube gaming channel, Sicily. That's right, it's Sicily, and she is going to be doing gaming experience with House of Ashes. So I'm going to be telling you guys about my gameplay. She's going to be telling you about her gameplay, because for the first time, we were actually able to do shared story, which is very different from movie night, because there are plenty of times where we got separated and I had no idea what she was even doing. There were characters I didn't even get to play as. But that's a few weeks from now. So if you guys want to send in some video messages about how much 70 Free Dream Studios variety show has meant to you, you can do that. If you want to share some support, you can hit the support link in the bottom. You can also check our socials. We're going to be hopefully updating and uploading some videos to our Facebook and our Instagram. That's 70 Free Dream Studios variety show. Feel free to follow Clark Dion, because I'm hoping to make some moves and have some more news before the end of the year. But remember, Clark Dion on Facebook, Clark Dion on Instagram, Clark and Twitter. And then remember, be prepared to keep seeing more of 70 Free Dream Studios variety show, because we do have plans for a second season. Until then, much love, everyone, and enjoy the rest of your week.